Jesus says in verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Jesus indicates that everything he had been telling them, all of these serious things, all of these promises, all of these commandments, everything that he had been telling them to this point was so that their joy would be full, so that they would really enjoy the Christian life. You see, the Christian who remains in Jesus Christ or who abides in Jesus Christ will abide in the pleasure of Jesus Christ and will know the joy of Jesus Christ. Their Christianity will not be a duty, but their Christianity will be a delight. That's what Jesus wants for you and for me today. Yes, he gives us a Bible full of commandments. The last time I checked, we're not to read the 10 suggestions, we're to read the 10 commandments. Amen? Amen. He's given us a Bible full of commandments and direction for our lives, but he tells us today in John 15 and verse 11, he says, "I've not given you all these commandments so that your life will be a life of drudgery, but I've given you these commandments so that your joy will be full in the Christian life." The Christian life is not to be a duty, it's to be a delight, something that we enjoy day by day. I want you to notice a few things about how to have that Christian joy. Notice first of all today the conditions for joy. There is a condition implied in verse number 11 that I want you to catch. The Bible says in verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you." These things have I spoken unto you. I would submit to you, we are going to have joy as God's people. If we are going to enjoy the Christian life, we are going to have to hear the Word of God. Amen. It's very basic, but Jesus says, "Now, I'm speaking these things to you so that your joy can remain and my joy can remain in you and your joy can be full." But folks, if we're not hearing what Jesus is saying, we're not going to have that joy in our hearts. He says, "I'm speaking this to you so that your joy might be full." All that he speaks is meant to produce joy in our lives. Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher of last century, said it this way. His object is not only that we would know the truth, but that we would have joy in the truth. The question today is not, is God still speaking to men? He is, because through his preserved word, he continuously speaks to us. The question is, are we listening to God? Jesus is speaking, but are you listening? And sometimes we listen to everything but to the words of Jesus Christ. The world is speaking to us today. Hollywood is speaking to us today and robbing our joy and calling out. People are speaking to us today and robbing our joy and saying things that are negative and saying things that are discouraging, and circumstances call out to us and try to rob our joy from us. And if you're depending on people or if you're dependent on circumstances for your joy today, then you don't have a lot of it. But all of these things call out for our attention and rob our joy. And I want you to know that in any 24-hour period of our lives this upcoming week, there could be many things happen that if we're depending on circumstances or people, our joy is going to go away. Like one man who visited the doctor not long ago, and the doctor came in and he said, "Sir, I've got bad news and I've got worse news for you today." The man said, "Well, all right, let me have it." He said, "Well, the bad news is that you've only got 24 hours to live." And the man said, "Well, what could be worse than that?" He said, "Well, I was supposed to tell you yesterday." That's somehow what the world gives us, isn't it, from time to time? But I thank God today that his word for me is good news and better news. Not bad news and worse news, but good news and better news. The good news is that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died on Calvary's tree and shed his blood for my sin and rose up again the third day for my justification. And the better news is he's coming again to take me home someday with him. You see, we need to hear the word of God if we're going to have joy in our hearts. Jesus says, "I've spoken these things for you, not so that the Bible would be a chain around your neck, but so that you might have joy in your life as a Christian." Thank God for his joy. So the conditions for joy: I must hear what he's saying. And then I do not think it's stretching it this morning to say, I must decide to believe in what he's saying. I must act upon what he is saying. See, that's when I really begin to hear as a Christian. It's not just that Jesus is speaking. It's not just that I'm hearing, but I am hearing with a believing heart. I'm applying what he's saying. I'm responding to the word of God. You see, for example, there's no question. If you've been saved any length of time and ever read the word of God, then you understand. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The question is, will you rejoice in the Lord? We know the Bible says rejoice in the Lord. The question is, are you rejoicing in the Lord? I must not only hear the word of God then, I must decide with my own will to do what God is telling me to do. Thank God that He is a sovereign God. He knows every decision I'm ever going to make before I ever make it. But we need to realize that God has given to us a will. And He says, now I'm not going to make you have joy in the Christian life. I'm not going to make you obey the word of God. He says, I'm going to speak to you, but it's up to you, my friend. It's up to me today to decide not only to hear, but then to believe what God is telling me from the Christian life. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. Are you? Will you? You see, God's word is clear. I must make that decision. I like the way Habakkuk said it. Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 3:17, although the fig tree should not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive field shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my strength. Habakkuk said, I don't care what I lose. I don't care what's taken away from me. I don't care if I lose all my money, all my flocks, all my crops. He said, I'm determining right now, I am going to rejoice in my God and in the joy of my salvation. Some of you need to decide that today. You need to decide that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what difficulties come, that you are going to stay true to the Word of God. You are going to stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, friend, trials will come. But Habakkuk said, I will have the joy of my God. You see, 19 times in the book of Philippians, we read the word joy. We read about joy. We hear the commandment, rejoice in the Lord. But I want you to understand something today. Happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. And the question is, have you decided that you're going to have joy in the Lord? Have you decided that you're going to hear His word, obey His word, and enjoy the Christian life? And some of you need to stop depending on circumstances and jobs and people to find joy and just decide that you're going to find it in the word of God that never changes. And so we see the conditions for joy. Quite simple. Hear the word and decide to obey the word of God. Happiness is a choice. You know why some Christians walk around looking like they had dill pickles and lemons for breakfast? Because they've decided that's how they're going to walk around looking. The conditions of joy. It's not money. It's not fame. It's not a new job. It's not tickets to the Super Bowl. It's not a new pool. It's not a new house. It's hearing the word of God and deciding I'm going to have the joy of the Lord in my heart. So Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye, my joy, might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So the conditions of joy, hear and decide. Number two, the constancy of joy. And I love this part. Look at what it says in verse 11. That my joy might remain in you. His joy will remain in me as long as I am focused upon Him and His Word. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As long as I have the mind of Christ through the Word of God, there will be joy in my life. As long as I'm abiding in the Lord daily, there will be joy in my life. Now take that and compare it to James chapter 1 and verse 8, where the Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And this is where many Christians today are struggling right now. One day you read the Bible, you're in church, the joy comes, and it does for someone who loves the Lord. There's joy. The next day we completely forget the Word of God, get busy doing things around the house, get busy with work, whatever, get busy, and we decide instead of devotions, we're going to watch a bunch of television, and all of a sudden we're depressed because we've neglected our walk with the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's up, he's down, he's up and down. He's happy, he's sad. He's happy, he's sad. Why? Because he is not remaining in the Lord. He's not abiding in the Lord. And the Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. You see, his supply is constant. And the supply of joy is constant as long as I'm abiding in him, which is the theme of this whole chapter, abiding in Christ. And Jesus Christ delights in giving us joy in our hearts. My family heritage back in Colorado, most of our relatives back there live way out in the country, and some exciting things have happened in recent days. A couple of the houses have gotten now water taken into the farmhouse there, and they actually have water. They don't have to truck it in anymore, and that's exciting. And then another exciting thing is that some of my relatives don't have to have a party line anymore. They just have their own direct phone line that comes in. Any of you ever worked with the party line? You have to wait for all the neighbors to get off and hope that they don't have a teenager in love or anything like that, because if they do, you're not going to use it. And I was back there a year or so ago, and I was out at one of my uncle's farms, and that particular farm hasn't had the water line hooked in yet. So the way you get water is you take the water truck, you go down to the water pipe down there about 10, 12 miles away. You put that water pipe into the tank on the back of the truck. You fill that tank up. You go back to the farm and you take that water tank hose and you put it into the well and you start to fill the well. And then you take the truck back to the water supply and you get some more water in the back of the truck and go back to the farm and put it in the well. And you do that all day long until you fill it up. My uncle says to me, he says, you know, he says, we're going to have a lot of company around here these next few days. He said, I think you better take the truck and you better go get some water. He said, we've got a lot of these city slickers coming around here and they don't know how to conserve water like us farmers do. He said, they take long showers. He started elaborating on that. He said, you better go get some more water so we can take care of all these city slickers coming around here. I said, that's just fine with me. I like driving the old truck. I like going and getting water. Just fine with me. I grabbed my cousin Steve. We went down to the gas station to get some gas in the truck. Got a Snicker bar and a Dr. Pepper. I was in heaven. Driving the old truck, jeans and boots on, driving down to get water, Snickers, Dr. Pepper, and sitting there with my cousin. Man, we were so excited just to be together and just to fellowship with one another. We sort of forgot what we were supposed to be doing. We were supposed to be getting water. We pulled that truck up approximately where it was supposed to go. We sort of nonchalantly put the hose up by the top of the tank, but we really didn't pay real good attention to exactly what we were doing. We got onto the bumper of the front of that Ford truck, leaned back against that truck, Dr. Pepper, Snicker bar, Rocky Mountains. Man, that was life. There's only one problem going on right about then. The problem was the hose wasn't going into the tank. Much to our dismay, we turned around and looked, and there was a pond engulfing that truck. Hundreds of gallons of water had missed the tank, got around the truck, and all over the ground. And I got to thinking about that recently. You know, the problem was that we just weren't aligned with the source, because that water was free. You didn't have to pay for it. You just had to align up to it just right, and you could have all the water you wanted for free. 500 gallons at a time, back and forth all day long. I got to thinking about that. You know why some Christians don't have joy? It's not because Jesus doesn't have enough. He has all the joy you could ever want, and it's all for free. The problem is you're not aligned up to him today. The problem is that you need to pull up and you say, Lord, is there any sin that's rocking my truck back or forth just a little too far? Because, Lord, I want this tank to be right in a position to receive the water. I want my life to be in a position to receive your joy. And Jesus says to you and to me that my joy might remain in you. He says, I've spoken these things to you so that you'll get your life aligned right, so that my joy will remain in you. And his joy remains in us through the teaching of his word. By the way, I might also add, his joy can prevail over any heartache on this earth, because his joy is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. I think of Hebrews 12, 2, that famous verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him did what? Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, as he was hanging there on the cross, suffering the most excruciating pain that any man has ever suffered, doing that because he loved you and because he loved me. The Bible says that he was able to despise that shame. He was able to endure that cross. How? because he was looking forward to the joy, for the joy that was set before him. Jesus Christ focused on the fact that the tomb was empty, focused on the fact that he would be at the right hand of God, the Heavenly Father, focused on the fact that thousands of people would have their sins forgiven and would spend eternity with him in heaven, and that we would be his redeemed people. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Let me tell you something. You let the joy of the Bible get into your heart. I don't care what trial you're going through. I don't care what cross you feel you're bearing today. The fact of the matter is, for the joy set before you and for me, you and I can claim the victory right now today. That's the kind of joy that Jesus offers. It's not a temporary joy. It's not a quick fix. It's the kind of joy that is fixed at the right hand of God, the Heavenly Father, today, according to Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know what your burden is today. Maybe a wayward teenager. Maybe a broken home. Need for a job. The loss of a good friend. I don't know. But I want you to know something. The joy that sustained Jesus on the cross of Calvary is available for you and for me today. And it's available through the Word of God. That's why the psalmist said, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That's the constancy of Jesus' joy. It's a joy that's always available. It's always there, day in and day out, for you and for me. We see the condition of joy, basically to hear and decide. We see the constancy of joy. It is a joy that will remain in us, Jesus says. You can always have it. Just get your life in line with me, and there'll be plenty of joy all the rest of your life, and for all of eternity, it'll be there. It will remain in you. And then notice, thirdly with me, the completeness of his joy. This is exciting. Verse 11, once again, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." That your joy might be full. Now, we've seen the constancy of that joy, his joy remaining in us, his joy in me. But listen, friend, it only makes sense then that if his joy is in me, my joy is full. If I am a child of God and his joy is remaining in me, then the Bible says my joy will be full. The pleasure of an abiding relationship with Christ is unlike anything this world has to offer. You know, the world says, hey, we've got amusement parks and ball games and all these things, and we go and we do those things, and we walk out and we're empty again. The fun's over. But Jesus says, when my joy is in your life, you are full to the brim constantly. That your joy might be full. The psalmist said in Psalm 16 in verse 11, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." When we're in the presence of the Lord, gathered around his word, there is fullness of joy. Notice that word there, full. Have you ever been full? Have you ever had so much to eat that you were full? Now catch it. Jesus wants us to be so full of his joy that when the devil brings his plate of goodies your way, you can say, "Devil, no way. I'm so full of the love of my Lord, the teachings of his word. I'm so full of his goodness and his grace to me. I'm so full of what God has given to me. Devil, you can take your cheap thrills and go on another way. It doesn't even tempt me today. I'm so full of the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's what the Bible means when it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Begin to pray about that. How can the joy of the Lord be my strength? And then it dawned on me, if I take in the Word of God and I am filled up with the joy of the Lord and I am so full of His joy, I am so happy in Jesus Christ, when the devil comes along, I am strong in His joy to stand against the temptations of the devil. And as a branch of Jesus Christ, I can share in his divine joy. Are you happy in the Lord today? Are you happy in the Lord today? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Or have you been sitting at Satan's dining table? Have you been sitting down at Satan's table and dining on the things of the world? You see, friend, if we fill up with the things of the world, we cannot be filled truly with the joy of the Lord. Oh, friend, are you happy in the Lord today? Is the Christian life a pleasure to you or a problem? Happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. And it's a choice that every one of us need to make. And it revolves around the Word of God. When I am not experiencing joy, I am not abiding in Him. But when I'm abiding in Him, remaining in Him, and taking in His Word, there is going to be a joy that remains in me, and that's Jesus. And there's going to be a fullness of joy that comes forth from my life.